Hey, Cleaning Nation, welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. We've got a special new and improved intro. For the first time in 3 years, we're doing an open to the public live event. It is limited to 12 amazing owners of cleaning companies that are doing six figures and want to do seven. You cannot sign up. You have to only get a call and see if you're a fit. But if you want info, growmycleaningcompany.com/live, growmycleaningcompany.com/live. If you would like info on hanging out with me, my bride, 11 other six-figure entrepreneurs who want to do seven, and get the entire clean profit method to the best of my abilities in just about 3 days. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Okay, so really good question, Christian, on how do I, what's the verbiage to get people who are not on the prepay to the prepay? I think we, just like with the video, you said, how long, what's a good length for a video? I'm like, it depends. It's really more about you being interesting. And if you can captivate someone for 20 minutes, a 20 minute video with 100% watch time is way better than a 30 second video with 20 minute watch time, because familiarity goes a long way. But a 20 minute video with 2% watch time gets slaughtered by a 30 second video with 100% watch time. So same thing when it comes to having these pricing conversations. I think we often look for the words. What words do I say? And it's not the words that you say, it's the beliefs that you have. So I've never done it, like, you know, those, I'm sure those guys out there, like, we'll tell you how to get women. I've never done that. But if it was like, here's 10 pickup lines guaranteed to work, I'd be like, that's bullshit. Cause it's the guy, Tiffany's about to cry, cause she's like, I'm a lady and I'm married, so I haven't dated in a while, but I can assure you it's not the magic pickup line of here's what to say. And any girl is going to swoon when you say this magic. That's bullshit. It's how you approach the woman with respect, with some self-confidence, with, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the guy and how he, and it's not even looks, it's just how he comports himself. So this is exactly the same. I'm happy to kind of give you some word tracks, but if your beliefs are you're scamming a guy, this is unreasonable, he's going to quit, you can't lose him, I can give you the perfect quote unquote script and it's just about worthless. If you have the right beliefs of, hey, this is a partnership, I can only serve him to a high degree if he's willing to understand my needs and we're looking to make sure we both win, you can really stumble over your words and say stupid stuff and you're still going to be fine. So the first part is the beliefs of, this is not something I'm doing to them, it is something I'm doing for them. So they believe the longer I can hold my money, the better I am. And I guess in most circumstances, that is the truth. However, if I've always done the opposite, believe it or not, I pay my vendors on time, upfront. If, like, Lindsay knows, if for whatever reason, she's like, hey, I know we only pay monthly, but I'm in a tight spot. Yep, absolutely. Mindy, get her paid immediately. Because I want Lindsay to go, Mike's got my back. And a couple grand, a couple weeks earlier, whatever the case may be, the time value of that money is nothing. Lindsay going, I really appreciate Mike. And when I needed him, he was there for me. That's worth a ton. So if I didn't have that conversation with Lindsay, she was just a bot that was a unit of support for a unit of money, I would try and keep my money as long as possible. But when she's a human being that makes decisions that impact my business, I want Lindsay to be happy more than I want my damn nickels for an extra, you know, 2 weeks. So that's the conversation I would have with them and go, if you are looking to pay the least amount to wring as much cleaning as possible and grind your vendor down to the least profit, thinking that profit, less profit for them means more money for you. And if you can hold their money for longer and you can make a couple bucks in interest, even if it debilitates them and their ability, we are not a fit. This is where we part ways, whether you'll pay in advance or not. That's the fact that you see that as our relationship is going to be a problem, right? Like if I was hitting on poor, and we're both married, so it's fun, hitting on poor Tiffany, I'm like, hey, baby, you're beautiful and your eyes are blah, blah, blah. And she's like, if you're just trying to be a scammy dude, even if that line is attractive to me, you're gross, it doesn't work. If she sees I'm really sweet and really just trying to talk to her, but I'm confused, she might go, that's the stupidest line ever, but you seem like a nice guy, I'm happy to talk with you. So it really has everything to do with who I am, what I believe, and what my goals are, what she perceives my goals to be. So if I come up to her and just go, you're a really pretty lady, and I'm not good at talking to pretty ladies, and I'm embarrassed and terrified you're going to embarrass me in front of everybody, but boy, if we could have coffee, it would make my whole day. The likelihood of, that's not a great pickup line. And if I coach someone, say those words, it would never work. But if I felt that way and I said it to someone who might not be interested in dating, there's a good chance she's going to look at this poor bastard. He seems so sweet. This is nicer than, you know, at least we'll probably have coffee, right? So I would look at this as a partnership and go, like, for you guys, if you felt all I wanted was your money and the more money I could get, regardless of the results you got, I win, you lose. That's not fun. You're probably not going to hang out for very long. And if I saw you guys as that, then I would, the whole thing's gross. Like, hopefully you respect me and my time and go, Mike loves me and he cares for me. And certainly we pay him, but I like him and I want to see him do well. And obviously I want to see me do well more, but I like Mike and I want good things for him. And I see you guys, it's like, yeah, your check clears. That's great. But I'm really interested in seeing you guys get results. So I can have just about any conversation with you and it comes from a place of mutual respect. But if you saw me as a vendor and I had to raise prices or had to do something, you'd be like, screw that noise, I'm out. So I would try and elevate the vendor payer relationship to a consulting gig. Like, hey, I'm here to make sure you get the results that you want. And I just don't work with people that try and handicap me cash flow wise. Cause then I'm worried about, I'm trying to be a bank and I'll be honest with you, I'm a shitty bank, but I'm a great facilities manager. So if you want to keep your money, find some other chump that's probably not great at facilities manager because he's not sophisticated enough to know what's going on, but he's also not sophisticated enough to negotiate for himself properly as the money goes. I'm sophisticated enough to make sure I'm covered and I can make my payroll and I'm not putting myself in a vulnerability, but by God, I'm good at what I do. So what kind of relationship do you have? If you want most clean, least money, F that guy, every nickel I save, even if it comes out of his pocket, I win. Let's just part friends because I'm not that guy. If you're like, I want him to be compensated fairly, I certainly don't want him to take advantage of me. And I want excellent service at a fair price, not the cheapest price, a fair price. We're not getting scammed and we're going to have each other's back. Let's go. So you see how none of those words are like, Christian, write this down, but hopefully the energy, you're like, I can bring that energy to a relationship.
No, I understand. And that's how we frame it to our customers is, you know, you have a team here. We are an extension of that team. We are a part of your company as much as your receptionist is, and that we want to bring value to your business. And we want you to be able to focus on what you do best. And so I think since we have that, we've had those conversations with customers before in the beginning stages. And when they call for something, we say, yeah, absolutely. Like, we're part of the team. Like, we're all on the same team here. That's not you need something extra. We're happy to do it if it helps make your life easier. So I think that language for me is genuine and sincere and to the point of like what we've said to them before. So I think that I can build off of that to some degree, and I will put in a help ticket when I have it typed up to. But
don't even type it up. Like, I can't emphasize enough. If you go in with a script, it's really hard to be you. So I'm more interested in, I'd rather role play it with you and go, yes, that energy, how you just showed up, Christian, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to do a.
So you recommend a call over an email.
If you were auditioning to be a singer for the band, you wouldn't type out your words. You'd have to sing them. If you're auditioning to be a drummer, you wouldn't like type out the beat pattern you're going to do. You'd have to actually do it. So same thing when it comes to an email. Yeah, send me a help ticket because they're not going to be able. I don't want you to tell me about it because I'm like, I won't be able to hear your voice. I only have the words. I just want the words. When we're doing a conversation, as you know, I think it's like 67% of communication is nonverbal. So you're like, let me just give you the 33% that they're going to share. I'm like, well, that's not helpful. Does that make sense? So it's not that I'm not interested in the help ticket. I just, when it's numbers and scripts and emails, help ticket. When it's conversations and energy, phone call.
So you recommend these to be conversations, not emails, not an email saying, hey, we're changing our pay structure.
1,000%. Okay. 1,000%.
Okay.
Same thing.
I was struggling the most, you know?
If we raise prices on you guys, how weird would it feel if you just got an email from Lindsay? As of this note, here's a new price. Like, look at Tiffany's eyes go up. She's like, wow, that seems shitty. Because I've told this, I have the same relationship with you guys as you're saying you want with your people. It would be wildly out of character, right? You would expect me on a call to go, hey, everybody, just to let you know, here's what's going on. Here's why I still love you. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Any questions? Good to go. Moving on. And then I might back it up with an email for people to miss. Hey, I talked about this live. Check out the video. But just so you know, or we wouldn't even do that. I would still call the remaining members or have Lindsay or somebody would call them personally. So yeah, this, anytime we're talking money, I don't like email. It's just not a same thing. Tiffany's a beautiful one. I'm trying to date her. I'm going to email her. I saw you at the thing the other day and I'd like to that's not the same thing. maybe it'd work for somebody, but not most. Okay. Help you give the context to go forward?
100%.
Cool. Tiffany, did you have specific podcast questions you wanted to talk through?
Yeah. I want to know what you thought you said the guy Spencer did Idaho business or something like that, but in a bigger region, you would narrow it.
What he's currently doing, so that he's still doing them now and he's cranking. Right. Are you Dallas Fort Worth? I know you're Texas, yeah. But okay. I was, yeah. Forget about San Antonio. Is San Antonio, Dallas Fort Worth? I get confused, but anyway, Dallas Fort Worth. Honestly, like he started Pocatello Business. So there's location and there's niche that you can widen or, you know, so like US-based business podcast. Well, it's not good for you because 98% of the population is not, you know, Texas podcast, way too big. For Dallas Fort Worth business podcast, that's a nice little community. It might exist, it might not, I don't know, but that would be a pretty good niche. If that's even too big, you'd want to go, if you had a niche that you just wanted to crush it on, like Dream 100 style, where like, I only need 30 of these clients to make my whole business. And if I spent 2 years doing a podcast and it only got 1,000 downloads total, but of those 1,000 downloads, 80% of my niche was listening and each one of those niches is worth $1 million lifetime value. You could have the least downloaded podcast ever and still have the most value. By the way, even for you guys, it's a little different with me in that we actually generate leads and business from our podcast. If I was doing a podcast in your shoes, I would expect zero leads or bids from it. I 100% would be, I'm having Tiffany as a guest on my podcast. Hey, Tiffany, you're the CEO of whatever. Can I come in and do a sales call with you for 20 minutes? No. Hey, Tiffany, I'm the host of the Dallas Fort Worth business podcast. Would you like to be a guest? Well, now that's a different kettle of fish. Even if you have zero downloads, now I get a 20-minute conversation with the CEO of whatever for nothing, for free. And now we're also colleagues and I can call them and be like, hey, it's not Tiffany. Remember, I'm the owner of the cleaning company. I tried to hawk you services. Screen that call. Hey, I'm Tiffany, host of the Growing Cleaning Company podcast. Anytime I go to the ISSA or anywhere out in the world, I'm not Mike Coach. I'm Mike, host of the Growing Cleaning Company podcast. It's embedded in. Well, if I'm the host of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, I probably know something about growing my cleaning company, right? The only reason I wouldn't do like the cleaning podcast is nobody's interested. So I'm going to gather your own perfect audience. So what the question you want to answer is, what is the best bait for my audience? And you have to be very clear on who your audience is. If it's just any business owner in Dallas, Fort Worth, how to grow a business in Dallas, Fort Worth is pretty damn good. You know, and my first podcast was Conversations with a Genius. I just interviewed smart people. They were the genius and very popular, very little low drag on me and just hanging out with those people. And people just called me and said, hey, could you coach? So find out exactly who your people are, find out what would be catnip to them and do a podcast about that. And then invite them on the podcast and then promote that podcast. And then they'll start promoting it. I would like, if I had a really good person that I really dug and I was trying to make them sound smart and great and make them sound amazing. And then what really happens is they start promoting it for their own thing. Like if I really wanted to get fancy, I would even be like, hey, let me make a copy for you with your own intro and outro. So you can send it to people and you're not promoting my thing. You just promote you, but you're on there and now they're sharing and they're like, now they have a story. Oh my gosh, this lady, Tiffany, I think she owns a cleaning company, but I did a podcast with her and she made another thing and we got two calls and it's been amazing. And I got recognized on a thing. What's the likelihood he's going to use someone else, not you, for the cleaning service? Like virtually zero. Does that make sense? Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show.
I remembered my other question from
yesterday. I wasn't going to be able to sleep tonight. What you got?
It was the trade show thing, how you were saying it's not selling at the trade show. It's just 1,000%. Making the appointment or whatever, just a phone call. And how do you have that conversation to get them to talk to you later?
It's a funnel, just like any other funnel. So the best example I've heard, and I haven't been able to perfectly translate it, and I don't know that you would execute it because it's a lot of work, but it would crush for you. But I want you to get the concept and then we can simple it down for something that would be more bite-sized chewable for you. The best one I heard was a paid advertising company. They literally had 2 or 3 iPads. I don't even know if they had good looking girls with them. Good looking girls always help at a trade show booth. Sorry, for women and men, right? They're just, if you, Tiffany, to the best of my knowledge, married heterosexual woman, if you see me doing something or my beautiful bride, you're going to approach her way faster than me. So it's not just like I'm using sex to sell. It's human beings are attracted to attractive women more than they are this dude. Sadly for this dude, but here we are. So I don't even know if they had attractive women, but that was certainly when, you know, we're not looking like scantily clad or anything gross, just attractive women. What are you going to do? I don't even think they had that. They had two or three iPads, and they literally, as people walk by, that's the big thing. What's the hook? What's the headline? When they walk by, everyone else is going, hey, can I talk to you? Hey, would you want a piece of candy? Hey, you want a free Nerf, some piece of tchotchke crap that nobody wants to put in your bag? And everyone's, no. Like, you know, it's a plague, right? Everyone's trying to, I imagine it being a pretty girl at the club, all these creepy guys come and you're like trying to like defend. All you do is you have a person with an iPad. Want to see something funny? That's it. I can do the whole training for you if you want. Ready? Want to see something funny? And then you hand them the iPad. That's it. That's the training. Very easy. Yes. Right. So you see how the barrier of entry is almost nothing. Cause I'm going to, in Vegas with lights going off and things beeping and there's just all sorts of noise. And it's like, want to see something funny? Yes, I do. So as soon as they take that iPad, it's on, baby. So what's the first thing I do? I take headphones. Not the little ear, right over their ears. Now, what are we doing? We went from all this to me focus on an iPad with over the ear headphones and all that noise goes away. It was like a 2-minute video made for that trade show. If it was you, I'd make it for all trade shows. And at the end, they said, if you give me $20, I'll get your name at the top of, I'll get your company's name at the top of Google. Very compelling offer. Two things happened. One, it was, so you see how there's just so many easy yeses. Usually people are like, hey, let's have a deep sales conversation about something I want to sell you. Times 100 walking through. It's a very hard thing to ask, right? Yeah. Pretty girl at the club. Hey, talk to me. Is this guy going to like, who knows? Like, is he safe? Is it just whatever? But if you just said, can I borrow a mint or just something where it's just an easy, you know, something like a little less like, let's dance. Let's say, you know, I'm some creepy dude. So you just make the yeses very, very easy. Want to see something funny? Easy. Oh, and by the way, you only have 3 iPads. Promise you. Then it's done. You only need the first 3 people. Cause what happens is they'll start queuing. So when people are walking by and they see people looking at an iPad laughing, they just start queuing up right behind. So then you don't have to do anything. You literally have a line around. And then when there's a line, people see the line, they just get in the line. So it gets to be the self. You see how an easy yes changes everything, right? So all these other booths are like, hey, we've got breath mints and candy. And your booth has nothing but iPads and headphones and people laughing at the thing. And it gets even better, right? It's like every time someone picks up the iPad, laughs, and then moves on, the person behind is like, I got to see what that's going on. What's in that video? I got to know, right? So it's the psychology behind it is phenomenal. And then at the end, the call to action is give me $20 and I'll get your name top of Google. And all they did was take the $20. And that's a big deal. Like, so say they did 100 of them, 2000, who cares? It's not the $20. The difference between maybe it was even $10. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Credit card. They are now a paying client. That is a huge difference. When someone gives you their credit card, it does not matter how much you run it for $1. That guy that pays $1 or $5 or $20 is 10x the value of someone who has not done that. Something about when people give you their money. And then also at the end, when we get to the end of the sales conversation, great. You want me to just use a credit card on file? So much easier. Like, absolutely. See what I'm saying? So even if you just ran it for $1 or $5, it doesn't matter. So all you're like, how can they get their name to tell them to do it? Paid advertising. Same way Callan's going to do it. You give me $20. I'll spend it on Google ads and you'll be at the front of the page for that search for until the $20 is gone. So easy peasy to deliver. And all they did is they got the $20. So the guy or gal is now a customer and they booked an appointment to go, would you like your name on Google on top of Google all the time? And they just did dozens of appointments and millions of dollars afterwards. So that psychology of what's the easy yes that can be automated that other people look at and go, I want to some sort of curiosity. And again, the trick is the people have to laugh at the video. So there has to actually be something funny. So people laugh and go, I got to see what's going on in there. Then you've got to have a call to action where like, well, I'd have to be stupid not to say, of course. Or the so you see the curiosities in both. It's first in the what's in the thing and what's with the headphones and why are people, and I'm in a line, what's going on here? And then how the hell is it? I'll pay the $20 just to see how you're going to do it. I just want to see what's going on. And then they do the sales appointment afterwards and you built quite a bit of good. They saw something funny. They felt special because they were taken care of. You got their thing faced or, you know, you got their ad first on Google for a second. They've already paid you. The likelihood they show up for that is high. So that concept of how can I get an easy thing to get them into the booth that's inviting, not salesy, and how can I make a hard to resist offer before they leave my booth?
Wow. Very smart.
So yeah. You should show up to these calls every now and again. Something happens. It's like, crap, I wouldn't have heard that otherwise. Just saying.
Yeah, that's really good. So what could a cleaning company offer? We're not going to get them to the top of Google.
You can do all sorts of stuff. You just got to think of what their deal wants. Like, you know, if I'm them and I'm unhappy with my cleaning, because again, I'm not giving away a free flat screen TV because that only tells me they want a free flat screen TV. which is no value to me. Like, that's why I love Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. Who the hell's listening to that podcast unless they want to? I mean, it's such a stupid, you know, so just go, what do they want? And then go, that's what we're selling. So if they want, and find a ridiculous hard, you know, like find out how to make get paid $5,000 to switch your cleaning company. And they just have to find a way to be like, all right, we'll get you $5,000 worth of free supplies and or, you know, most of the time, if you move into a new job, your distributor will put in all new fixtures. You could do a free $5,000 floor thing. And, you know, obviously there's got to be a minimum or make it $1,000 or whatever you need to do. So just find out what they want and then offer them that and have a little curiosity towards it.
Okay.
And ask them, hey, if we were at a trade show, what would I have to offer you that you would be like, holy shit, I got to stop and see that. And then what would I have to further offer you to give me $20 and make an appointment to see what happens later?
Okay.
Okay. And feel free to, because I got to jump, although I need you for like 2 minutes, Lindsay. But yeah, feel free to workshop with your own, who your clients are and what they're paying. Because the trade show matters, right? If it's just a general, I can't give you one because I don't know who's the trade show and what they're paying. You know what I'm saying? I need to know who's there and what they want. I can't just give you a general. Like this one was obviously just random business owners. So SEO, I can get your business on top of SEO made sense. And it was in Vegas. So the video they made was Vegas themed, which is always nice too. You don't have to get that fancy or that, you know, if I'm going to spend money on a video, I'm going to make one video that will work for all trade shows going forward. But anyway, so yeah, let me kind of think through what trade show you're talking about, who you're speaking to, what result you want, and then maybe come up with some of your own creative ideas, hit them with me, and then we can turn those version 1.0 into a really good, workable version.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.